Broadcasting live from atop the Rocky Mountains, the crossroads of the West. You are listening to the Liberty Roundtable Radio Talk Show.
All right. Happy to have you along, my fellow Americans. Sam Bushman and Kurt Crosby live on your radio. Hard-hitting news the networks refuse to use. No doubt starts now. This, my fellow Americans, is the broadcast for April the 9th of the year of our Lord, 2018. This is our one of two, and our goal always to protect life, liberty, and property, and to promote God, family, and country on your radio and the traditions of our founding fathers. Yes, indeed, we use the blueprint for liberty, the supreme law of the land, the Constitution for the United States of America, and absolutely the checks and balances put in place by the founding fathers. Brilliant, and the great solution to the problems we face today. On Saturday's broadcast, you know we are live on Saturday, right? On Saturday's broadcast, ladies and gentlemen, we talked about, will Homeland Security compile a database of journalists, bloggers, and influencers? And I think the answer is yes. They're already doing it. They've done it, and they'll do it some more. CNN thinks that President Donald Trump might be listening to Alex Jones, according to the Daily Caller. Well, there you have that. Very strange stuff, I'll tell you what. Judge Judy's $47 million salary isn't too much, rules a real judge. We talked about that. We also talked about billionaire George Soros gets a handout from U.S. taxpayers, writes Bob Unruh. Trump's EPA pick, Scott Pruitt, so effective. That's why the left wants to bring him down. We also talked about Carlos, New Yorkers, fight traffic tickets, right to WND.com. Literally, they have no cars, but they got traffic tickets. It's insanity over there. But what do you expect when government runs amok, huh? We talked about the Virginia teenager, Aiden Jackson, plans March for Our Guns rally. We also talked about Chris Wallace. Trump's attacks on the media bother me, but there absolutely is bias in the mainstream media, he says. Chappaquiddick producer Mark Ciardi, this movie isn't for the right or for the left, it's for the truth. Imagine something like that on the radio. All right, without further ado, that's only 1 hour on Saturday's recap. We'll save the second hour for later to recap and talk about. But understand this, Virginia teen Aiden Jackson, I went to work on Saturday after we talked about him on the show. And I got not only Aiden Jackson to respond to me, we're going to have him on the radio soon. In addition to that, I got a guy from Montana that's got an up-and-coming rally this Saturday for our right to keep and bear arms. He's a teenager, too. His name is Braxton. He's going to be on the radio with us as well, and we're working towards setting up a national right to keep and bear arms rally. Anyway, that we'll keep you posted as things unfold. I just wanted to give you a little hint on that for those who are listening. Without further ado, our guest today, Lowell Nelson, campaignforliberty.org, ronpaulinstitute.org. Welcome back to Liberty Roundtable Live, sir.
Thanks for having me, gentlemen. It's good to be with you.
All right, let's talk about guns and student safety. Speaking of guns and how involved the children really are this time, huh?
Well, thank you, Sam. Friday night, just three evenings ago, Stephanie Staley of Payson, Utah, she's the owner of SX3 Guns, so she joined us there in Highland for our monthly Friday, first Friday of the month meeting. We talked about guns. We talked about student safety in schools in light of the recent shootings there in Parkland, Florida. And just a marvelous evening. This gal, Stephanie Staley, is probably in her 30s, I would guess, and mother of four children, and just very passionate about guns and gun safety. She's building a gun range down there, SX3 Guns, and spends a lot of her time, Sam, teaching children and teenagers about guns and gun safety. Now, most of us who were there at the meeting were probably a generation older than she was, but she reminded us, Sam, of the importance of passing on to the rising generation, you know, the value of freedom and how it should be properly protected and defended. I mean, how often are we reminded that we need to be the ones to teach the younger generation, the rising generation? And so I was absolutely delighted that she, with others, is shouldering this responsibility of helping our youth understand the Second Amendment and teaching them how to handle a gun responsibly. She does teach concealed carry courses, but she reminded us that, you know, those people who attend concealed carry courses in Utah learn more about the gun laws than they do about guns. And so she encouraged us to get training, to practice regularly. That's one of the reasons she's building a gun range. And to share the joys of shooting responsibly with family and friends. I know we do this up in our family reunions when we go up over in Wyoming or into Idaho. You know, we'll often take our guns and we'll just set aside an afternoon and teach and share and have fun. It is a ton of fun. And she reminds me, Sam, of what Jim Phillips has always said about preparedness. He always said, and I think he still does say this, he says, if your neighbors aren't prepared, then you aren't prepared, Sam. And we need to take that seriously. If my neighbors aren't prepared, then I'm probably not prepared because they're going to be coming knocking on my door if they need something. But if I can help them prepare, they won't need to come knock on my door for help, you know, for things that you can prepare for ahead of time. And so in the context of gun ownership, Sam, I think it means a similar thing. We could say the same thing. You know, if your neighbors are not armed then able to defend themselves, then you are probably not as safe as you could be. And so we need to encourage this among our neighbors as well as among ourselves. So one of Stephanie's employees, his name was Zach Mink, accompanied her up to the Friday night meeting. She shared the mic with him, and he had presented. He's one of these fellows that really dives into the data, and he prepared a number of graphs and displayed those graphs for us, which illustrated, the data that he used was like all of the data for the past two decades leading up to 2014, the last year he had good data for, but just showing us that crimes decrease when gun ownership increases and vice versa. Now, we've all heard More Guns, Less Crime, that book by Lott, I forget his first name, but this fellow, this young man, did his own independent research, his own independent study, gathering of data, and that's exactly the conclusion he reached as well. And so it was just a ton of fun there. We talked about, you know, a bunch of us were from the older generation, obviously, and so we talked about growing up on a farm, on a ranch, where we packed guns all the time. We carried guns in our pickups to school and back. We'd often go shooting after school. And basically emphasizing, Sam, that guns are and we are simply a tool. Everybody has tools. And guns are simply a tool. It's not alive. It's not going to wake up and just up and shoot somebody. It's simply a tool. It sits there inert, does nothing until you or I or somebody else picks it up and uses it as a tool. Now, we had hoped to dive into some other topics that night, but weren't able to. We'll probably talk about the influence of psychotropic drugs on school shooters at an upcoming meeting. We'll probably discuss the weaponization of psychiatry, but not last Friday night. It was just a really good evening together talking about guns and the value of owning guns and having fun with them, Sam.
While you're doing that, we covered on, I think, Friday or Saturday's show a little bit about this, but it's becoming more and more prevalent. It will become... It'll come to a theater near you, unfortunately. But the headline says, London's murder rate shot past New York City's for the first time, even with their gun ban in place. Now they're talking about and targeting knives. They say, if you have a knife, we will catch you. We will search and frisk you. We will take it away. The fullest force of the law will be used against you. And now they're targeting knives in London, and the murder rate has surpassed New York City's using knives. And now the knife battle is on in London, and I submit to you that what happens around the world ends up coming to America. So once they get our guns, if we let them, they will be after the knives. And again, you wisely point out it's just a tool. And, you know, they armed students with rocks in the United States. I don't know if you know that, to deal with gun violence. The problem is, back in the day, you know, they almost stoned that woman, taken in adultery, and Jesus Christ the Savior saved her. But they used to stone people to death. Just ask Stephen in the Bible, the first martyr for Christ. Even if they take away guns and knives, then people will go back to rocks. There's no way you can stop violence or ill intent. unless you preach the doctrine of Christ. And I bring this all up because they'll be coming after the knives next if we don't make a stand now, Lowell.
Yes, one of the graphs that Zach showed us, by the way, was the increase of homicides that were done without guns. In other words, the more guns they take away, then the incidence of crime, crimes committed with blunt objects, such as bats and sticks and knives and so forth, increases way above the rate that had been there with guns when guns were available. And so, in other words, you're disarming the population. If you take away their knives and their guns, then you're disarming the law-abiding citizen and just making it more likely that crime will increase. The incidence of crime goes up when you take knives away, you know, as well.
What you got to do is prepare for
but,
war.
But Lowell,
ladies and gentlemen,
they got big signs that say no killing here and no, and the criminals always keep the laws. I mean,
good point. That's why we got to just pass more, not. Anyway, the bottom line is it's an epic battle. I'm glad you guys talked about it at your Highland Friday night meetings. It's a good thing to discuss. The more educated we the people become, the better off we are. And we're working on supporting these teenagers with right to keep and bear arms rallies, right to march for your guns rallies. And we're going to be highlighting several of these teenagers. There's a teenager in Kalispell, Montana, that's going to have 1,000 people next weekend, to his event. We're going to be highlighting Braxton. Aiden's doing a great job in Virginia, and we're going to turn this into a national rally in support of their efforts as well. You are listening to Liberty Roundtable Live. Details of the new Quest Breakfast coming up. Lowell was there, and he's got update for us. This is Liberty Roundtable Live.
As the United States boldly stepped forward in the glorious light provided by its new Constitution in 1787, the nations of the earth were in awe of the newfound strength and hope of this free land. Today, the nation stands at a crossroads. A divergence from the original intent put forth in the United States Constitution has brought grave threats to our beloved nation. A miracle is needed if the United States is to survive. That miracle is again the pure application of the United States Constitution. I'm Scott Bradley. In my To Preserve the Nation book and lecture series, I bring forth truths that will help raise up a new generation of statesmen like those noble Americans who founded this land. Vigorous application of these principles will invigorate and restore the nation, and we may become again the freest, most prosperous, most respected, and happiest nation on earth. Visit topreservethenation.com to begin that restoration.
Okay, girls, about finished with your lesson on money?
Daddy, what is a buy-sell spread for gold coins?
Well, when you sell a gold coin to a coin shop that's worth, say, $1,200, you don't actually get $1,200. But don't worry, we're members of UPMA now, so we don't have to worry about that.
Daddy, what if somebody steals our gold?
We don't have any gold at the house. It's stored safely in the UPMA vault, securely and insured.
But the S&P 500 outperformed gold. Daddy, gold is a bad investment.
Some people do think of it that way, but actually, gold is money. And as members of the United Precious Metals Association, we can use our gold at any store, just like a credit card. Or I can ask them to drop it right into Mommy and Daddy's bank account, because we're a UPMA member family. Find out more at upma.org. That's upma.org.
With news the networks refuse to use, you are listening to the Liberty Roundtable Radio Talk Show.
All right, well, Sam and Kurt were live on the radio last Saturday. Lowell Nelson was hanging out at the Newquist Breakfast with a couple of hundred like-minded patriots, Lowell.
Oh, it was awesome, Sam. You were holding the fort down conducting Liberty Roundtable on air, and I was listening to Morgan Philpott talk about the prosecution and the defense of the Bundy family. They're both in Oregon and in Nevada. I'm hopeful, Sam, that Morgan will write a book about this experience. I mean, he could only share with us a fraction of what has transpired in the last couple of years and that occurred with the prosecution of that family and their defense. One of the things that just struck me, just thunderstruck me, Sam, was the fact that the government, our own federal government, spent $100 million on the Bundy family, beginning as early as 6 years ago, in 2012, which is when the FBI did a threat assessment on them and declared that they were not a threat. Yes, you heard that right, Sam. The FBI did a threat assessment on the Bundy family at least 6 years ago and determined they were not a threat. But the other arm of government, the BLM, they didn't want to hear that. The Department of Homeland Security didn't want to hear that. And the other agencies that were involved, they didn't want to hear that report. And so they went after the Bundys anyway. And between then and now, spent over $100 million on basically they wanted them, they wanted to accuse them of domestic terrorism, Sam. They wanted to prosecute them, imprison them, and take their land. Now, let me repeat that. The government wanted to accuse the Bundys of domestic terrorism, then prosecute them, and imprison them, and then take their land. And so they may have succeeded in doing so, except for a series of small miracles that eventually led to terribly embarrassing disclosures that the federal prosecutors were withholding key evidence that would have been favorable to the defense, including suppression of evidence from FBI surveillance cameras recording the Bundy family home, the presence of federal snipers around the property way ahead of the standoff, a couple of years, I believe it was, before the standoff, and Morgan showed us a map of the ranch and showed us where the snipers had been posted and showed us where the, a forward-reaching base of operations not far from their ranch, where they were doing all of their nefarious surveillance and directing the surveillance activities from. They bragged about beating up on one of the Bundy boys. I think it was Alan or it wasn't Ammon. One of the older boys.
Ryan? Mel?
It was a Ryan? Yeah.
Yeah, probably Ryan.
Okay. Yeah, and they just bragged about, you know, beating him up. And I mean, these are tough characters, but they, so none of this information was available until they stumbled onto some documents that were to be shredded, and then it was serendipitous. I call it miraculous, but serendipitously they stumbled onto these documents that the prosecution had been withholding from the defense. And when that came to light, of course, they were able to put that in front of the court, and the embarrassing disclosures were so great that's why the judge simply threw the case out and dismissed the case with prejudice, meaning that the federal government could not bring charges again against the Bundy. So talk about a thrilling story. I feel badly for the Bundy family, but I feel so good about the defense, their defense, because I believe that God in heaven was helping to defend them because they had put so much faith and so much trust in their Heavenly Father for years, and it was just a marvelous story, Sam. Now midway through the presentation, Morgan made it very clear that the government is endeavoring to militarize the West. For example, they want to deploy military personnel to protect antiquities and other vistas of value here in the West. He even said, Sam, that John Curtis, the Congressman John Curtis from the 3rd District here in Utah, is either sponsoring or co-sponsoring, I couldn't write my notes fast enough, legislation about this military personnel deployment here in the West to protect the antiquities and other, you know, lands of great aesthetic value. And to me, this is absolutely killing, Sam, and I think that the solution to this, obviously we have a problem, which is federal overreach, but the solution to this has been well delineated for 200 years, Sam, well over 200 years. Thomas Jefferson wrote about it, James Madison wrote about it, we've had modern-day Tom Woods write about it, and that is the act of nullification. States and other local governments, we're talking, you know, governors, state legislators, sheriffs, county clerks, and so forth.
Just to weigh in and support, I support nullification 1,000%. I reject a constitutional convention, and I also reject secession. Lowell, that's just my two cents.
Right. Absolutely agree. Absolutely agree. And so if sheriffs and local and state authorities will prohibit this kind of occupation, you know, where the feds try to come in and control or manage or occupy public land, then they're not going to be able to if we have a sheriff with guts to dissuade them from doing so, or we'll arrest them when they do that, then truly we'll be able to defend our public lands against federal tyranny and federal overreach. It's just chilling to me, Sam, that the federal government wants to militarize the West. I just find that to be...
Well, they want to arm drug cartels. They talked about, you know, Operation Gunrunner. Alex Newman talked about Operation Gunrunner, but understand it's also called Operation Fast and Furious, where the United States government literally armed the cartels in Mexico, knowing full well that they would be used against our people in the war against drugs, etc., hoping to incite rage against guns. They literally did this, and there's been, as far as I can tell, no real accountability, Lowell.
Yeah, you're exactly right. And that was, you know, Alex Newman talked about the machinations of the deep state. That was his topic. He was the second speaker of the morning. In fact, the entire edition, the January 8th edition of the New American magazine, talks about the deep state. Most of the articles in that edition were written by and researched by Alex Newman. Sam, he is a foreign correspondent for the New American magazine. Just does a phenomenal job pulling together information. I mean, he's attended Bilderberg meetings, tries to interview people as they come out, and oftentimes they come out of those meetings just gloating about the way they're going to take over the world and dominate people, the little people. And of course, because they're so braggadocious and arrogant, they often disclose information, and Alex just is right there to vacuum it up and put it together. He's very good at connecting the dots. And, boy, he spent, you know, a good 45 to 55 minutes just talking about the deep state, Sam. Very illuminating, you know.
And whether you call it the deep suede or the deep state, I'm sorry, or the swamp is often how it's called. The New World Order used to be a term for it. It's really all the same thing. What it means is elite thugs use banking and weapons and everything else to literally control populations. It's a tyrannical view. They've been trying for it since the days of Cain killed Abel, and they're after it now, and they're not going to get it, ladies and gentlemen. We are going to be successful in preserving liberty in pockets around the world when the Savior Jesus Christ comes. Mark my words, they will not win. However, based on our actions, it'll determine how pleasant or difficult it is along the way.
Well, that's exactly right, Sam. The deep state is really working to push the United States into a new world-oriented government. This global governance you're talking about, New World Order. And because if they can push the United States into it, then they'll have the whole world. That's one of the things that the third speaker made so absolutely clear, is the United States is, as Ronald Reagan said, the last bastion of hope. And if liberty dies here, it will die everywhere.
And the third speaker, an Australian named Trevor Loudon, right?
Yeah, Trevor Loudon. And boy, was he fun to listen to. I don't want to get too far ahead of myself, but that was one of the points that he drove home. If we lose liberty here, we will lose it everywhere and plunge this planet back at least a century, maybe a thousand years, a millennia back into, you know, the dark ages of when tyranny was commonplace.
Amen to that. But Alex asked a very important question, right?
Yes, Trevor did.
It was Trevor that asked that question. All right, hang tight. Right after the pause, we'll get that question. This is supposed to be great radio. You're supposed to hold people after, so they're kind of in suspense, right, Lowell? Anyway, we'll answer that question, a very important question to be thought about and asked. We're talking about all kinds of good stuff. The Newquist Breakfast, three incredible speakers last Saturday. We'll break it down nationally and worldwide just for you on Liberty Roundtable, Lowell Nelson, CampaignForLiberty.org.
Protecting your liberties. You're listening to Liberty News Radio.
Each week, the political cesspool, known worldwide as the South's foremost populist conservative radio program, hits the airwaves to bring you the other side of the news and to report on events which are vital to your welfare but are hushed up or distorted by the mainstream media. However, to continue doing this, we need your support. Go online at www.thepoliticalcesspool.org and make a safe and secure donation. If you prefer not to make an online donation, you can send us a check or money order to the address on the website. No matter which way you choose, the Political Cesspool needs your support. Go online to www.thepoliticalcesspool.org and make a donation today.
We fought, we learned, we struggled,
we won.
Despite Obama's best efforts, the newspaper of the human resistance survives. We have lived only to face a new nightmare, the war against the machines. Read about our struggle in The Sovereign, newspaper of the resistance. The Sovereign is a 24-page monthly tabloid newspaper about the war between man and machines. We've tried reason, we've tried legislation. We've tried every peaceful means imaginable, and all it's gotten us is shut out. So now we fight the machines. Order online today at thesovnews.com or find The Sovereign at select newsstands. Remember to read The Sovereign, newspaper of the resistance. The human resistance's battle against the machines will be everlasting. This is mercy. It was never our destiny to stop the age of Obama. It was merely to survive it. Together.
Okay, let's try this. Honey, I've got some surprising news. No. Okay, this will work. Guess who's gonna have a baby? No, that's not it. Oh, I don't know.
Hi, honey. Are you okay?
Jill's pregnant.
Our Jill? She's just a kid.
I know. You know, nothing really has to change when the baby comes. I'll help her. We'll just help her, right? We never thought it would happen to our Jill, or to us. We didn't know how to best help her through the tough decisions she'd have to make. Thankfully, we found that help. And not just for her, but for us, too.
We're here to listen. We're here to help. LDS Family Services. Where there's help, there's hope.
Promoting God, family, and country. You are listening to Liberty Roundtable Radio.
All right, Lowell Nelson riding shotgun for campaignforliberty.org on Liberty Roundtable Live. He attended the Newquist breakfast last Saturday in Utah with a couple hundred like-minded patriots. The speakers were Morgan Philpott talking about Ammon Bundy and crew and how wronged they have been. The suggestion is he ought to write a book. Also, Alex Newman from the John Birch Society doing a great job breaking down the deep state and more. And Trevor Loudon doing a great job asking a very insightful question, Lowell.
His question, Sam, which is more dangerous, a foreign enemy or a domestic one? And obviously, and everybody there agreed, the more dangerous enemy is the domestic one, the one who dresses like you, talks like you, looks like you, shares your culture, shares your skin color, shares your, you know, habits of creature habits. He really is the enemy. He or she is the enemy who will vote against the proper role of government, who will trash your rights, who will deride your beliefs and put you in the chains of slavery in the end. That is the more dangerous enemy. And so he's just very clear about that. And we have, see, that's, we go in search of enemies to destroy externally, but our greatest enemy is right here in our own country, Sam. People who every day in state legislatures and in the national legislature vote for Marxism, vote for tyranny, they vote for more regulation, they vote for higher taxes, they vote to enslave the population through taxation and overregulation, and it's and we need to wake up to that. Now, I'll give you some hope that probably we are waking up to that more and more. But before we're getting to that, I just want to point out a couple of fun and interesting things observations he made. This Trevor Loudon, I'd never heard of him before, but boy, is he fun to listen to. He also pointed out, Sam, that those who serve in the intelligence communities here in the United States must pass a background check. And it's a rigorous scrutiny of a person's background, who your friends are, who you talk to, and so forth. And yet, members of Congress, Sam, entrusted with sensitive intelligence information, do not even undergo a background check. Think about that for a second. Members of the House Intelligence Committee, the Senate Intelligence Committee, those people run into intelligence, sensitive information, confidential information every day, and they have not had a background check done on them. Very interesting juxtaposition there, I think. He also mentioned how the Muslim Brotherhood, which was begun decades and decades ago, probably 100 years ago, really is a kind of a granddaddy of many of the terrorist Marxist organizations that we know of today, like Al-Qaeda and ISIS and so forth. And that, now here's the stunning part, approximately one-fifth of Congress solidly supports and defends these hardcore communist organizations.
Yes, and believe it or not, I've been at this broadcasting for 25 years about now, Lowell. And in our early days, even back in like 96 kind of range, 97, 98, 99, there was circulating online about 58 congressmen that were literally tied into the Communist USA Party. It's been taken offline now because they bury it. But we literally were able to name 58 members that were literally on record tied to the Communist Party USA even back then, sir. So I appreciate his estimate. I think he's right, but I wonder if it's even more than he realizes. But no doubt, tied to the Muslim Brotherhood, Barack Hussein was immensely. Members of Congress, we don't have that many that have really kept their oath to the Constitution or even understand the Constitution.
You're exactly right, Sam. He probably put out the one-fifth fraction simply because those are the ones he could document. But in all frankness, there's probably more than a fifth of Congress that supports and defends these communist Marxist organizations. Now, they will never say that they do that, but you have to watch their actions, not what they say, because you can't believe them when their lips are moving. So despite all of that, though, Sam, he believes the number one threat to the United States today is illegal immigration. And that was kind of a stunning statement, but he talks about the fact that, you know, Trump trying to put America first is what is making these swamp monsters back there in Washington, D.C. and around the world so angry at him. They want to destroy Trump.
Now, do you agree with him that immigration is the biggest problem, though? See, I don't agree with that.
Well, this is the point that he's making, but basically he's saying that Alex Newman also said that the deep state is so angry at Trump. First, they wanted to destroy his credibility with the Mueller investigation. That seems to be failing. So then they wanted to basically take the Amendment 25 and declare him mentally unfit for office, get him out of office that way. And if that doesn't work, impeach him. But if that doesn't work, they want to assassinate him. That's how the deep state feels about Trump. And I
understand that view. I'm not so sure I agree. I believe if the deep state wanted him dead, he'd be gone tomorrow. But that's another discussion.
Yeah. And so basically he talked about the fact that he says, look at the numbers. 26% of the U.S. population is solid progressive, and they will vote for a progressive candidate under any circumstances, regardless of color, creed, or ideology. I mean, well, ideology is progressive, of course. They have to vote for that. And they said 25% of the U.S. population is Latino. And 80% of Latino population votes progressive. And so Trevor believes, that they can, if they can just take over, if they can push enough Latinos into the United States, that they will then capture enough votes, 51%, that's 26% plus 25% is 51%, that they then could win back Congress in 2018 and the presidency in 2020.
I think that's all true, and I'll tell you why. You know, this Mitt Romney attack back in the day, I'm not really a friend of Mitt Romney's, but I will say this. He highlighted that 50% of the American people are on the dole, and anybody on the dole is pretty easy to get to go along with your agenda because all you got to do is deny the carrot, right?
Yeah, well, you just promise them more and more carrots. You know, you can't deliver them all, but you certainly promise.
Yeah, but you threaten to take away the carrot, too, if they don't kind of get in line, right?
Yeah, exactly right, right. And so Trevor talked about the Rainbow Coalition, the success of the Rainbow Coalition back when it first came out. This is a couple decades ago. Yeah, I think you guys remember that pretty well, how successful the Rainbow Coalition was. And so what they're doing, the high-dollar donors in the progressive wings of the parties are running. They're running Latino and basically minority candidates. They're trying to take advantage of this this Rainbow Coalition idea, and they're doing it in the 2018 midterms, and they're doing it in governorships. They're doing it in congressional races and in state legislator races.
Amen. And by the way, Lowell, do you think they're going to be successful? I think so.
Well, we're trying to get the word out, Sam.
You want to know the biggest reason I think so?
Yeah, go ahead.
It's because the Republicans have lied to us and haven't accomplished hardly anything.
Yeah, they're two faces on the same pig, right?
As far as I can tell, I mean, that, you know, I'm not saying I can't find a list of, you know, dozens and dozens of things that have been done good, but 90% of it's Trump. Congress has opposed him at every turn almost. And as a whole, I think the Republicans are going to get absolutely slaughtered in the elections to come up because the people don't believe they've done anything. And I think for the most part, that's true. Now, the media is manipulating that. I think there's more done that's good than has been given credit for to some degree. But certainly not enough. I feel betrayed. Do you?
I share the same feeling, Sam. But this brings us to the good news. And that's an email from Bliss Two, one of the regional directors for the John Birch Society, very knowledgeable gentleman, who has been a warrior in this battle longer than I have, maybe as long as you, Sam, you and Kurt, I don't know, but he's been in this battle for many decades, and he, in an email that I received from him yesterday, he alluded to the information presented at the breakfast on Saturday, and then proceeded to make 10 brief observations, and I'd like to repeat his observations.
Amen, and by the way, I think he's spot on. We've known Bliss, too, for several decades. He's a wonderful man, does a great job, stands in a variety of states for the John Birch Society, doing a great job. He's been true to the cause, ride for the brand for a long time. Every point he makes is spot on. Go ahead, sir.
Excellent. Number one, he said, the little pretext he makes for his 10 points, he says, one thing I've pointed out often these days is that the election of Donald Trump showed that many millions of Americans have awakened to the multitude of dangers facing them. Donald Trump rode into office on a set of horses that Americans have come to understand, such as the following. And then he lists these 10 things. So basically he's setting this up, saying that, look, the election of Donald Trump is proof that millions of Americans have awakened to the awful situation, the dangers facing them. Number one, the United Nations is corrupt and should be defunded at the very least.
Boy, howdy, is that true? Stay there, Lowell. We'll come straight back, get into the rest of Bliss 2's commentary, breaking down the new quick breakfast. Incredible information, ladies and gentlemen, brought to you by CampaignForLiberty.org. Lowell Nelson, Sam Bushman, and Kurt Crosby at LibertyRoundtable.com in seconds. Are you familiar with the term vigor? Strength in body and mind. He pursued his tennis game with vigor, for example. Well, I hadn't, but I learned about it from Kurt Crosby. All right, and he actually let me take a scientifically proven free vigor test. And I got 13 out of 32, not very good. But I worked on it with him, and believe it or not, now I have a 29 out of 32 and improving vigor score. You say, Sam, what on earth is this scientific vigor score, huh? My response is you got to take the free test available now. Get a hold of Kurt Crosby to learn about it. The number is 801-669-2211. That's 801-669-2211. Or email Kurt, C-U-R-T, at LibertyRoundtable.com. That's Kurt, C-U-R-T, at LibertyRoundtable.com for your free vigor test today. Kurt, LibertyRoundtable.com, or 801-669-2211. Vigor test, free, scientifically proven today.
As a parent, is receiving a faith-based, character-focused education for your children difficult to find? Do you believe that godly principles should be a central component in your child's education? Imagine a school where faith and integrity are at its center, where heritage and responsibility instill character. For over 40 years, American Heritage School has been educating both hearts and minds, bringing out academic excellence. This is the school where character and embracing the providence of a living God are fundamental, where students' national test scores average near the 90th percentile. With American Heritage School's Advanced Distance Education Program, distance is no longer an issue. With an accredited LDS-oriented curriculum from kindergarten through 12th grade, your children can attend from anywhere in the world. American Heritage School will prepare your child for more than a job. It will prepare them for life. To learn more, visit American-Heritage.org. That's American-Heritage.org.
Begging politicians, bureaucrats, and educrats, and all do-gooders to please obey the supreme law of the land, the Constitution. This is Liberty Roundtable.
All right, back with you live. Lowell Nelson was on a roll talking about the importance of what we can do and some of the good news that's happening and how we're involved in it. Lowell?
You make me sound so good, Sam. I love it. Number two, Sam, this is a list of 10 things that List 2 observed about the millions of Americans who he believes have awakened to the multitude of dangers facing them. Number one was the United Nations is corrupt and should at least be defunded. Number two, the federal government is overgrown, trillions of dollars in debt, and oppressive. I think nobody would disagree with that statement. And number three, the border has been inadequately protected and porous to illegal invasion by aliens. Yeah, I think people generally would agree with that. Number four, the Federal Reserve System has debauched our monetary system and should be abolished. Wow, can you imagine even from 2007 to the present, the incredible impact that Ron Paul's presidential campaign had on the American population? Everybody knows now that the Federal Reserve System has debauched our monetary system and really needs to be abolished. Everybody. Like 71%, the last poll that was taken, I believe. Number five, we are being tricked and trapped into terrible sovereignty, destroying entanglements such as the 5,500-page Trans-Pacific Partnership, and we should avoid such entanglements. I mean, these things weren't even on people's radar, Sam, like 20 years ago. Nobody knew what the TPP was. Nobody knew the danger within NAFTA and so forth. And yet today, they do. Number six, America is already entangled in the worst trade agreement in history, the North American Free Trade Agreement, or NAFTA, and we should disentangle ourselves. I mean, that's one of the things Trump promised on the campaign trail, Sam, was he was going to get us out of NAFTA. And number seven, the establishment media gives Americans fake news as a way to influence them in directions the powers behind the media desire them to be herded. Wow. You talk about that every day on this news show, Sam, about fake news and about alternative media, the difference between the two. And everybody recognizes that now, Sam. Virtually everybody who tunes into the news understands that the Washington Compost and the New York Slime is basically fake news. The CNN and Fox, all these guys are fake news outlets. And so this is right on. Bliss is right on that. Number eight, he says, it is past time to put America first. And that was his Trump. That was Trump's motto, putting America first. Number nine, the man-caused global warming boogeyman is being used to further entangle the USA and to destroy our independence while empowering the United Nations and stripping America of wealth. Yeah, everybody knows that climate change is just a hoax, right? The climate warming, or is it climate cooling, or now it's climate change, right? That's a hoax. Number 10, Sam, there is a deep state, also called by Trump's campaign the swamp, that is undermining America's political, economic, and independent health. Wow. Those are the 10 points that Bliss 2, the observations that he to the Newsquist breakfast. And he cites that as evidence that millions of Americans have awakened to the multitude of dangers facing them. I just find that amazing, Sam. And now the first step to correcting a problem, obviously, is to recognize that you have a problem, right? And so what I believe Bliss is saying here is that Americans are beginning to recognize the problems that we have, which, if true, suggests that we are now more likely to correct the problem, right? If we can recognize them, then we can correct them. It's our own. It's only our failure to recognize we have a problem that perpetuates the problem. So now that we've recognized the problem, when we have solutions out here, and you talk about them on your radio show every day, Sam, and that's the Constitution, it's a return to God, it's a return to the principles of liberty, the proper role of government, then we can actually turn things around in this country. And that's what I pray for, Sam. I pray that this is really true and that we didn't get Trump by accident. We got him because we wanted somebody who would turn the media upside down, someone who would put America first, someone who worked to preserve liberty. Now, I'm not saying everything Trump has done is good, but he has certainly done a number of things which are darn good, and hopefully gotten us a reprieve here in the United States so that we can continue to protect and preserve liberty here and then be a light of liberty unto the rest of the world, Sam.
Well, Lowell, just so that you know, in case you forget what the normal media would do, see on a story like this, on a breakfast like this, they'd want to know, hey, what kind of muffins were there, and maybe like how much bacon and sausage, you know, that kind of thing, and how were the waiters, you know, I mean, they wouldn't want to go into these other kind of things. I mean, you got to have some real kind of stories getting deep. Like, for example, was there enough butter? I mean, how was the, stuff that Americans really need to know, you know what I mean?
Wow, yeah, that's a good
one. Other, back to the real stuff, but anyway, was the governor there? That's what I was wondering about. And, did you see lots of our legislators, et cetera, or were they just, they had to go to some other place, you know, and be at other places?
Well, you know, it's campaign season, Kurt, so they were probably out, shaking hands with people in some other venue. I did not recognize any legislators there, no governors, no attorney general, no. Yeah, I really didn't, and of course, maybe they weren't invited either. I don't know. I hope they were, but
I think they're always invited.
Good.
It sounds like it was a heck of a day, and, I'll bet you there was some good food as well, ladies and gentlemen. Don't mean by us joking about the food that there wouldn't be good things there at the Newquist breakfast. Our buddy Mr. Jorgensen's been taking care of that for, 30, 40 years, something like that, there at the Little American.
Yeah, 1975 is when they started, or maybe it was earlier than that. Mm-hmm. But it's been if 75, then it's been at least 25 plus 18. That's that's getting up there, 30, 40 years. So
yeah, our buddy Greg from Boston was saying he was going to head up there. Did you see him there?
Yeah, I saw Greg there. And chastised me for not telling him that it was a formal dinner, formal attire. He was in his casual attire.
Yeah, right.
Why didn't you tell me? I said, wear my suit, you know?
Well, Greg is not exactly comfortable that way,
Kurt was supposed to help out and make sure Greg knew and attend with Greg and help him.
Yeah,
that, you know?
I know. I mean, but I was on the radio, so, you know. Greg is famous for trying to impersonate a homeless person.
That
pretty well.
I got to get to the news here, though, ladies and gentlemen.
Yeah, yeah.
We talked about an enemy that's domestic is more dangerous than a foreign one. That's absolutely true. Ron Paul wrote an incredible column, Economic Storm Clouds. We got to get to that before the end of the hour. President Donald Trump's tariffs will further weaken the economy is the bottom line. Lol.
Well, that's right, Sam. The Fed, as you know, recently increased interest rates up to 1.75%. And, of course, they're talking about the economy's doing so well that we'll probably be able to increase interest rates further and blah, blah, blah. But what they don't tell us, Sam, is the real rate of unemployment and the real rate of inflation. And that's one of the points that Ron makes in his column, which is posted at campaignforliberty.org. He says the Fed's claim that the economy is strong is based on misleading government statistics. For example, the official unemployment rate understates the real unemployment rate because they don't count those who have given up looking for work. He says, according to John Williams of Shadow Government Statistics, that the real unemployment rate is above 20%. That's like one-fifth, Sam, right? One in every five people is unemployed, meaning that they don't have good jobs. Now, and this is also understated, I might add, that because the work is not the same now. In other words, a person might be working two or three low-paying jobs instead of one good job because they can't find employment in one good job. And so it really is understated.
Now, and they might be taxed so hard and deal with the inflation manipulation to the point where husband and wife both have to work their guts out just to stay afloat, too.
Exactly right, and which is one of the reasons why there's fewer jobs, right? I mean, 50 years ago, it was pretty uncommon for wives or spouses to be involved in the workforce. And but not now. It's just the other way around. It's uncommon to find a homemaker who's not out, you know, in hustling for money simply to stay afloat as a family, you know.
But there is good news at the federal level, Lowell.
Yeah?
The movement to audit the Fed remains strong. It continues to grow as more and more people get educated. We believe it'll grow in size and strength. Hopefully this movement can take off and we can have accountability here. Donald mentioned it on the campaign trail, but he's been strangely silent since, sir.
That's right, unfortunately. And it's also true that more states are recognizing the need to protect themselves. You know, Utah was one of the first states to legalize gold and silver coin as legal tender in the state. In other words, there's no tax on exchanging gold and silver coin for products and services. And Arizona last year passed a similar bill, and now Wyoming has joined Arizona, passing a law recognizing gold and silver as legal tender. That means, ladies and gentlemen, that citizens of those states, the ones I mentioned, Arizona, Wyoming, Utah, are now able to protect themselves from the coming dollar crisis by using what historically has been considered real money or real coin. And so I think this is a great development. I hope that other states will follow suit. And this gives me hope, Sam, that truly we are understanding the failures of our fiat monetary system and need to audit the Fed and the Fed and return to sound and honest money, as you have been saying for years.
We got to keep working at it, ladies and gentlemen. There is a lot of good. There is a lot of hope. There's a lot happening. I know it feels discouraging from time to time, but remember the good guys win. Never forget that piece. And remember that more and more people are waking up, as Bliss 2 wisely points out, that is all true. And they've been trying for the deep state or the global, governance or whatever you want to call it, the New World Order, the, swamp, whatever term they use for it lately. They've been trying for this since Cain killed Abel, ladies and gentlemen. Abel was a good guy. Cain was the evil guy. It all started with Master Mayhem back in the day. They've been trying for it, and they've never got it yet, and they're not going to get it. It just might be rough along the way if we don't engage quickly and if we don't unite together for the sacred cause of liberty. That's what Liberty Roundtable is around to do, to bring us all together, to focus on the solutions and what we can do to prepare for the Savior Jesus Christ to come and provide ultimate liberty for us all. There's our hope. We hope you hope with us. Lowell, thank you so much, sir.
You're welcome, gentlemen. Thanks so much to you.
There he goes. Lowell Nelson, campaignforliberty.org, doing a phenomenal job. RonPaulInstitute.org. I'm just telling you, they do a great job there. Bliss 2, the other gentleman that spoke, Morgan Philpott, and the others, we thank all of you. What a great update, ladies and gentlemen. Wow, a fantastic hour of Liberty Roundtable Live. We declare we the people, along with the grace of the Almighty, we can and will restore America. The only question left is, will you help? We declare this nation shall endure.